have a dream, a song to sing.
Hello, friends. This is Berto Herrera. Welcome to the Super Power of Forgiveness. On bbsradio.com, the number one worldwide radio internet, thank you for tuning in. My sincere intentions are always to bring my education effort to anybody, anywhere in the planet. If you want to learn how to live a happy life, this is the show you want to listen to. As I always say, whatever I say here, it's based in my experience, in my life, in my book, The Invincible Flying Eagle, and my mission, what I have on earth. And at the end, you're the one who are going to decide if what I said is good for you or is not good. So you will be the judge. Today, I will have, first I want to tell people who sent me messages on the topics. They want me to talk about what to do during and after a change in your life. I will be talking about that topic on April 13, because today I have other topics. I got a lot of emails from people what they want me to talk about. I will be talking about, but first I want to say a good news about my other half. I will be telling you what is going on with that, with my other half. Then I will talk about the bishop who has a mansion, a millionaire. Wow. And he's a bishop. So a bishop. So a Catholic. Okay. So we will talk about that. And also, I want to talk about Rosa's Grill, Pupusas. She is located on a 7031 FM 1960, Humble, Texas. Her telephone number for the restaurant is 281-446-3253. She is located on FM 1960, corner of Foxwoods. She has a great pupusas. I went to her restaurant. I love it so much. And she's so great. She's from El Salvador. So for me, going there and eating pupusas, it was so great because I felt like I was in my country. Just like the way my mother and my sister made those pupusas, very typical. So I will encourage you to go to Rosa's Grill Pupusas. 7031 FM 1960, Humble, Texas, and her telephone number for the restaurant, 281-446-3253, and you can tell her, Berto sent you over there, okay? So, today we are going to have an actor, Felicia Johnson, the book Her. So, we are going to be talking to her in just a little bit, in a few minutes. First, I want to talk about a good news about my other half. I have connected two couples who are now dating. The pleasure that I feel is indescribable. I have more connections. Please don't be afraid to let me know what you are looking for. I have all kinds of connections. Men looking for women. Men looking for men, women looking for men, women looking for women. So, as you can see, I have all things over here. And remember, I always say, I am not a matching company. I am doing this just because I love to help people to be happy. Happiness didn't exist for me. I decided to be happy, and I am here to share it with anybody I can. I got emails from different people, about 12 emails from people saying that, will you please give us the opinion and talk about the bishop who has a mansion? A bishop who has a mansion. Can you believe that? or is getting it ready for his retirement. I believe he's in New Jersey, New York, somewhere over there. But we are talking about millions of dollars. My God, I can't believe that. A bishop, a Catholic bishop. See, when I see this, it hurts my heart, because with all those millions, can you believe how much we can do with those millions helping people? Is this man a representative of Jesus Christ? Where is his humble? Where is his example to others? He is a shame to us all, especially we, the ones who are Catholics. But there are pastors, priests, rabbins, reverends, etc., who are doing that, who they call missionaries, but they are not humanitarians, which is a big difference, missionary and humanitarians. So yes, they are right. They are missionaries, but they are not humanitarians. But it's not his fault. It's people's fault who are okay with it, who tolerate it. The ironic of all is that most people who are in support and who sees that man as a bishop, those people are poor. They live in poor apartments or houses, if they have a house. Come on, people, wake up. How can you adore somebody who is living a rich life? That priest, that pastor, or that bishop, he is not a true representative of God. When I was in one of the convents, I saw how much food was wasted. Priests eating better food than the seminarists. Where is the equality? Does that make them hypocrite? Preaching something, yet doing something different? The top bishop, this is one thing that, before I jump into that, so what I was telling you about this bishop who is getting his mansion ready with the millions of dollars. Think about it. Is that bishop is a true representative of God? No, it's not. Because if we call ourselves missionaries, humanitarians, we must live a humble life. We must live a poor life, not with millions, not in a mansion. That is not what Jesus did. But people, wake up, people, come on. Don't tolerate that, because it's your fault. It's not those people's fault. It's not the bishop's fault. It's the people who followed him. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about another bishop in Portland who made some remarks, who made some, it was kind of an interview. This is what my people, my friends sent me on Facebook and Twitter to talk about this. The top bishop in Portland made a strong claim about the root cause of pedophilia. He said that divorce is encouraging pedophilia by hurting children. He went on to say that these young people who witness divorce are just looking for love. He even compared divorce and pedophilia on the same level of harmless or harmful to young children. How stupid that can be for a bishop making those remarks. I was abused. I know what sexual abuse is. I know what pedophilia is. And that bishop, he is one of the abusers. The way he is referring to putting things, getting them out through his mouth, is because he's one of them. The bishop told a reporter, many of these cases of molestation could be avoided given a healthy relationship between parents. Yes, I agree on that. But they have to come up with a solution with so many priests who have hurt so many innocent children. Come on. They cannot tell me anything different than that to me because I know what sexual abuse is about. My book, The Invincible Flying Eagle, is about that. It's about abuse. And when I was in the convent, I saw priests abusing of seminarists. I saw that, and that is going to be on book number 2. Men that make up such stupid reasons for such horrible behaviors seems suspicious to me. Don't you think about it? I invite the bishop in New Jersey to sell that mansion and use those millions to help so many poor people in the planet. There are so many things he can do. Provide groceries, food. There are so many people who go to bed hungry, and they don't know if they will have anything to eat tomorrow. We can pay for medications. There are so many people who have sickness because they have no money. They are sick and they can get the medications. An example is a diabetic person. That is just one example what I can give you. Pay for surgeries. An example is a person with a thyroid who needs an operation. We can pay for that. Pay for housing. There are so many people going through so much now. So much what we can do. It really made me sick to my stomach when this bishop or any priest who eats so good meat, chicken, beef, pork, everything, you name it, every day they have food on the table. They have millions, they have thousands of dollars. Yet, there are so many people who are hurting, who doesn't have food, who doesn't have medication, who needs our help. And this bishop called himself a representative from Jesus. He called himself a humanitarian or a missionary. Yes, he's a missionary, but missionary for his own sake, for his own good. Not to help somebody else. That is a shame. I invite this person to look himself in the mirror and do something different with his life. Otherwise, he's not going to make it far. Or maybe he will, because remember, I always say, I believe in this planet, we can be angels and we can be evils. So maybe this person is an evil here. Don't tell me to go to the church where he is preaching. Don't tell me to go and kiss his hand. That is not going to happen. That is not me. Come on, people. Wake up. Catholic people, wake up. You the one who are tolerating that for this priest, for this bishop, to have so much money and to live the life he is living. Now, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to have Felicia Johnson with us talking about her book, which is a so great mission what she has also, and I am so thrilled to have her back. Don't go away. We will see you in a little bit.
I have a dream, a song to sing, to help me cope with anything. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, You can take the future, even if you fail.
Hello, friends. We are back. Thank you so much for being with us. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, we are on the superpower of forgiveness, and we have Felicia Johnson with us, who is an actor, and she's going to be telling us about her book. Hello, Felicia.
Hello, Pertho. Thanks for having me on your show again.
Welcome back to the superpower of forgiveness. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Here I am, happy about everything, giving the message to everybody, and happy to have you again on my show.
Yes, excellent. I'm so excited.
Great. We are going to start with the first question. Since now I have 1 hour, so I have to go through everything more quickly. Tell us about Her, the book.
Oh, my book, Her, yes. The story centers around a young lady who learns that she suffers with borderline personality disorder. And borderline personality disorder is a mental health disorder that's on the axis two spectrum. Her name is Kristen. She finds out that she has borderline personality disorder when she goes to the hospital after a suicide attempt. And there she learns, you know, about her disorder and different coping methods, and sort of get some hope that life just isn't always as bad as, it doesn't have to be as bad as she is perceiving it, despite everything she'd been through, suffering from child abuse and watching her little brother be sexually abused by her stepfather. She had been through things that normal kids don't normally go through. So that's why she was having such a hard time, but it's a story of hope, and that's what I hope that the readers be able to take from it.
Wow. It's a very difficult situation when somebody, being a child, goes through that, being abused, and also for somebody to see that and to know that who is doing it, it's his own stepfather. You know, that can be so difficult for both persons.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's hard because she's just a child herself, so she feels this helplessness, sort of trapped, like she just doesn't know where to go, doesn't really know what to do, even after she's not in that situation anymore. She had not really dealt with her emotions and the things that she had witnessed and had went through herself. So that's where it sort of brings her to sort of this breaking point, not really knowing how to cope and what to do to deal with these emotions.
Wow, yes. And I can sympathize with that because I know what you mean. So I read your book, and let me tell you, I liked it very much, and I recommend book to everybody.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I loved your book, too, and I share it with everybody, too, as well. They have this sort of similar subjects, talking about child abuse and overcoming these really great hardships.
Yes, and the best of all, surviving the abuse and overcoming, like you said, everything, because it's not easy, and it's just so great when somebody does that.
Yes, it is. It is.
Now,
inspiring.
Right. Yes. Going to a little bit more deep in your book. I know when I read your book, you talk about personalities. You were in my show just a few weeks ago, and remember we did talk about that, and I got a lot of people ask me about personalities. So tell us a little bit more about that, so people will understand more what it's about.
About the borderline personality disorder, BPD generally has to do with instability and interpersonal relationships. The self-image is generally skewed, and it's marked by a lot of impulsivity, impulsive behaviors. And in the story, it covers the self-injury part of it. There are kids out there, people who don't really deal with their emotions verbally, and whether they just don't know that there's somebody that they can talk to or don't know how to express their emotions any other way, but they'll take to cutting themselves with sharp objects and or burning themselves, just different ways of hurting themselves to deal with these intense emotions. So that's like one of the big symptoms of BPD that was covered in the book.
Wow. Thank you for explaining that to us so people will understand what the different personalities can be and can do and how that affects the person, and that can affect the families, people around.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, it's hard for most people, especially when they don't know what to do to help someone who has these intense emotions and these emotional issues. It can become burdensome, especially when you just do not know what to do.
Right. Now, can this show up in somebody that can be mistaken for something else, and maybe the parents, the families will even judge the person being acting differently, without knowing that the real reason that person is acting differently is because he has a personality or different personalities.
Or it could be any other mental health disorder. That's why it's always good to, if you feel like something's wrong with yourself, you should definitely talk to somebody, try to get help. Or if it's a family member, say like a mother or father, they see that their child is having, emotional issues, it wouldn't be good to just assume what it is, but perhaps take them to talk to somebody, a professional who can help them and figure out what it is and give it a name. That way they can get the proper help, the proper treatment.
Great. Yes, that is a really good advice. Thank you for saying that, because that is what we want people to know. Don't let it go on and on. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Do it today, right? Ask for help today. Talk to somebody.
Right. A lot of people deny. They go into a denial because probably because they don't really know how to help a person when they're suffering that way. But it is like suffering. It's like, if you had a friend who, was dying of cancer or something, or if you yourself had a cold and it was just getting worse, turning into a flu, you would take care of yourself, or you would do what you could to help your friend or your family member who's suffering in this way. It's the same with mental health. It is a suffering, and it is, depression is real. Bipolar disorder, BPD, all of these mental health issues are real, and it needs to be taken care of because, it can eventually kill you. Suicide is real. Depression is real. All of it. And there's a stigma that we definitely need to try our best to get rid of by, promoting prevention and raising awareness on these issues.
Yes, you're right. And that is what we need to do. Talk about awareness, information, education to people.
Absolutely.
So like that they will understand what is that different personalities, and also what they can do about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Education is always the best way to go. If you are suffering, or if your family members or your friends, any loved ones suffering, best thing you can do is educate yourself on what's going on so that you can learn how to talk to this person, what can be helpful to them, what you can do. It makes a big difference. It really does.
Right, great. Now, tell me a little bit, when you write the book, okay, you did write the book, you got it out there, we know that it's out there, some people are reading it, I read your book, and like I say, I love it so much, it is so great. I was like, I wanted to know what is going to happen next. I was so into the book. Even though that it has so many pages, it didn't take me too long to go through because I was hooked into until I was done.
I heard that a lot of people, they want to know what's going to happen to the characters because they come to care about these, you know, children who are suffering with, you know, depression or BPD, not even just the main character. She has friends in there too that have their own set of mental illnesses and they're dealing with their own struggle too. So even if, you know, people don't relate to the main character, you can relate to other characters as well.
Right. Yes. So that takes me about to the next question. Tell us some satisfactions you are getting or have got due to writing the book, writing her.
Fortunately, I've had a lot of support from peers and other writers and organizations even. I just got nominated, or I was nominated for the Gutsy Gales Inspire Me Award. I did get an award. I received an award at the award ceremony. Not the Gutsy Gale. I wasn't named Gutsy Gale of 2014, but I did receive an award for my advocacy and my work with mental health and being a child advocate and helping other people who have been abused and who have mental health disorders. So it was a great honor to have that recognition because that was just another chance to be able to stand up and tell, you know, to spread awareness about mental health and that this is what this is about. It's about taking every opportunity to just talk about it. Even though it may be a taboo subject for some people, it still needs to be talked about. And then, of course, my book was nominated for Georgia Writers Association Author of the Year for my first novel. So that doesn't come up until June 7th. So far, those are the two awards. And that second one, it seems like June 7th is so far away, but really it's just right around the corner. So I'll be sure to keep you updated about how that goes.
Wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that for you, Felicia, because I know as an actor, it's so difficult to get out there. And for this award, what you are getting, these nominations, I really applaud you for that, and I wish you the best. And yes, I would love to have you after June back to our show to tell us about that nomination in Georgia. That is so exciting.
Fingers crossed. Thank you. Fingers crossed. But again, it'll be just another opportunity to be able to talk more about mental health and just work our way to getting rid of that stigma.
Right. And as an actor, I think to think that you've been nominated for something, for a reward and for a nomination for a presentation for something, I think that is a reward for yourself just right there because you are already out there. People are talking already about you and about your book, right?
Yes, you are absolutely right. It is a big thing to be able to have it out there and have it circulating and people actually care about this work, about this subject of mental health. So that right there, like you said, it is an accomplishment because that's the goal to get more people talking about it, talking about mental health and opening up more.
Right. Yes, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad that you are sharing all that with us. I would like you to tell us a little bit without giving too much away. Tell us a little bit about the main character of the book, of her.
Okay. Well, Kristen, she's 17 years old, so she's, you know, just trying to find herself and transition into being an adult. But with all of these, her issues that she has to deal with but don't really know how to deal with, she kind of has a breakdown and she attempts suicide. And then she, of course, she doesn't succeed, finds herself in the hospital and just trying to figure out what got her there. How did she get herself in this place? And she does. It's an emotional journey, and she'll take the reader right with her. It's written in her voice. The story is written in her voice. And I hope that people are able to follow her and see her transition and change from this girl who's seemingly hopeless to a girl full of hope and promise.
So, which means at the end, it's an inspirational story, because at the end, it's a survival of everything.
Yes, she wants to be a survivor. So that's what she's going to start working towards.
Wonderful. And that is what I always tell people, you know, we are survivors and we have to look into something different, because some people keep calling victims themselves all the way along. Well, they call victims, we were victims. Like Christine, like you say, you know, she was a victim. But at the end, she's a survivor, which is a great thing to tell everybody.
Yes. And once you're beyond being a survivor, once you've just worked your way to the top of that mountain and you feel refreshed and you're able to help others, I always say then you become a thriver. So when you're beyond being a survivor, you become a thriver. That should be the goal, to just keep moving until you are thriving and not just surviving.
Right. Wonderful. Great. What do you want people to take from reading your book, from reading her?
The book, it may seem like it was written to, I guess, talk to people who speak to people who have BPD. Actually, I wrote the book for people who may know someone with BPD, whether it's a loved one, family member, friend, whoever, because I lost my best friend when we were kids almost 16 years ago. Actually, April 10th will be the 16-year anniversary of her death, and that's coming up very soon. Holly had depression, and she suffered from BPD, and she lost her battle and committed suicide. And I don't think anybody should ever feel that pain of losing a loved one. And I wanted to write this book as sort of a textbook to help people understand what goes on in the mind of someone with BPD. It has the heart of a textbook, but it's written in a way that a person can relate to. It's written in fiction, like a story. So I hope that what people can take from it is just a bit of education and have a bit of understanding of BPD and just sort of what it's like to suffer with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Before we jump into something, I cannot let you go without telling me about Mr. Sharp.
Oh, Mr. Sharp. Mr. Sharp. I've had a lot of people say he scares them, but Mr. Sharp is sort of, he's Kristen, the main character's imaginary friend, and he's the one that, he lives in sharp objects, and whenever she goes to cut herself, it's sort of like she's created this entity that speaks to her through hurting herself. It's sort of like a confirmation for her. It's okay to hurt yourself. If you hurt yourself, you're going to feel better. But that's Mr. Sharp's job. He's there to keep her down, unfortunately.
And that is a real character that goes through different people, right? It's not just because you put that character there. So BPD people, different personalities, if they are going through that, they can really create a Mr. Sharp or something similar,
well,
right?
Mr. Sharp was sort of like that voice that we sometimes have in our heads when we think we want to try to do something, but there's that voice that sort of creeps in and says, ah, you better not, because you're going to fail. Instead of saying, oh, there's a chance I could, you know, I could actually succeed, that voice that says you're going to fail, or that voice in your head that just constantly puts you down. For Kristen, you know, instead of just making a voice in her head, I wanted to give everybody sort of a visual of what that voice would look like. Because we all have it. We all have that voice in our head that, you know, sort of contradicts our positive feelings. But most of us have the capacity, the mental capacity to just let it go, to just say, you know what, I'm going to let go of my fears and I'm going to give myself a chance and do this or whatever it is. But she doesn't. So he sort of took a life of his own.
Right. And you really did created a wonderful character right there, because let me tell you, when I was reading the book, Mr. Sharp, I was laughing. I was like, oh my God, Mr. Sharp. So,
well, you were laughing. He scared me. While I was writing the book, I would have nightmares about this character, but he had to exist. He did have to exist for the story to move. And it couldn't, again, it couldn't just be a voice inside of her head. We had to give it, I had to give it something visual, something that popped out so that he just started to form his own life.
Yes, and you really did. You really did on that, and you are absolutely right when you say that we all have those voices in our mind telling us something negative other than the positive, right? We all do that, and you did say it right, Felicia. Most of us have the capacity to overcome that, to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to pay attention to that negative thought in my mind. No, I will think positive, and I'm going to do this positive, and I will do it, and I do it. So you did explain that so great for our people to understand. Thank you so much for doing it. Felicia, I wanted to know, we need to tell our people, how can they acquire your book? Where can they contact you? How they can follow you, Twitter, Facebook? Where can they get the book?
Sure. Well, I'm on Twitter at herthebook. That's H-E-R-T-H-E-B-O-O-K. And I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/Felicia Johnson, my name. And my book can be purchased on Amazon.com. Just search Her by Felicia Johnson, or through Barnes & Noble.
Great. Thank you so much, people. You heard that, what we were talking with Felicia Johnson about her book, Hair, H-E-R, Hair, just like that, like her.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful book, and I recommend everybody get that book, because also Felicia has a mission and she's a good-hearted person that she wants to help others as well. Thank you so much, Felicia, for being
Thank
with us
you,
today.
Coco. Thank you so much.
And like I say, you are welcome back after you get the nomination in Georgia after June, maybe at the end of June or in July. We can have you back, and you are welcome.
That would be excellent. I love to. I always have fun on your show.
Wonderful. Good. I love that, to educate my people, to inform our listeners, because that is our job, to give the information to everybody, no matter where they are. And you know, the good thing with bbsradio.com, since we are internet radio, people can listen to our show anywhere in the planet. It's amazing what internet can do now.
Yep. It's pretty amazing.
Yes. Okay, friend, I let you go. I'm going to start my last 15-20 minutes in Spanish version. Have a wonderful day, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Everybody, stay with me. We are going to see you back here. Remember, I am here every other Sunday. And for now, I am signing off in English, and I'm going to start my last minutes in Spanish version for my people. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and a big hug for you.
Necesitado me encuentro, Señor, ayúdame a ver, yo quiero saber lo que debo hacer.
Hola amigos, soy Berto Herrera, bienvenidos al superpoder del perdón, aquí en bbsradio.com. El número uno radio internet en todo el mundo. Gracias por sintonizarme. Mis sinceras intenciones son todo el tiempo de traerle a ustedes mi esfuerzo educacional con información y educación y inspiracional en cualquier parte del mundo, porque lo que quiero es darles el mensaje correcto. Pero al final, ustedes son los que tienen la decisión. Ustedes son los que van a decidir si lo que digo es bueno, si les gusta, si no les gusta, o si es positivo, si es negativo. Ustedes tienen la última palabra. Estaba hablando en inglés, en la parte de inglés estábamos hablando con la escritora Felicia Johnson, que tuve que desafortunadamente no la puedo tener en español porque nomás habla inglés. Pero ella tiene un libro maravilloso para ustedes que hablan inglés y hablan español. El libro se llama Her, H-E-R, Her. Es un libro maravilloso que habla de personalidades y de sobrevivencia y también de abuso sexual. Se los recomiendo. Para las personas que me mandaron correos que quieren que hable del tema de ¿qué hacer durante y después de un cambio fuerte en la vida? Ahora ya no tuve oportunidad de trabajar en ese tema porque tengo voy a hablar otras cosas más importantes ahora, pero luego les prometo que para abril 13 voy a tener el programa dedicado para hablar de qué podemos hacer durante y después de los cambios en nuestras vidas. Abril 13, no se lo pierdan. Voy a decirles un poquito ahora de mi otra mitad. También voy a hablar del arzobispo que tiene una mansión, que está preparando una mansión en New Jersey o New York para retirarse, que supuestamente es representante de Cristo. Voy a platicarles de Rosa's Grill, del restaurante Rosa's Grill, que son pupusas. Es un restaurante salvadoreño que está localizado en el 7031 FM 1960 en Humble, Texas. El número de teléfono es 281-446-3253. Está localizado este restaurante de Rosa's Grill en la esquina de FM 1960 y Foxwoods. En la esquina de Foxwoods y la FM 1960. Tiene unas pupusas maravillosas. Rosa es maravillosa, que hace las pupusas con ese sabor típico del Salvador. Puedo comparar las pupusas como cuando las hacía mi mamá y como cuando las hace mi hermana, así de sabrosas, ok, se los recomiendo. Yo cuando empecé a ir a este restaurante, voy a tener un año yendo para allá, se los recomiendo, porque siento como que si estoy en El Salvador, como que si estoy allá con mi familia cuando voy ahí, como esas pupusas maravillosas, ya que las pupusas favoritas mías son de Loroco, imagínate. Eso se las recomiendo. Voy a hablar un poco de mi otra mitad. Mi otra mitad. Ok. Como ustedes saben, desde el principio yo les dije del programa, yo iba a tratar de hacer lo que ustedes quieren, lo que a ustedes les gusta, ayudar a los demás. Yo no soy una compañía que quiere hacer los matchings aquí con gente por dinero. No, yo lo hago de todo corazón y me satisface decirles de que ya hice 2 conexiones. Estoy súper feliz porque ya hice 2 conexiones. Ya hay personas ya que ya están ya de novios, ya saliendo, conociéndose y a ver qué pasa. El sentimiento que yo me llevo no se los puedo ni describir. ¿Por qué? Porque a mí me gusta la felicidad. Y la felicidad de nosotros también es mi felicidad, porque yo creo en la felicidad en general, no nomás en mi felicidad, porque yo no soy hipócrita. Porque cuando uno cree en la felicidad de uno mismo, bueno, pues entonces vas a caer en un círculo de que nomás vas a creer en tu felicidad, pero no en la felicidad general de los demás. Entonces, yo te invito a que creas en la felicidad de los demás para que podamos ser felices y dejar a otras personas que sean felices. Tengo más conexiones, por supuesto. Por favor, hazme saber. No tengas miedo. Mándame correos, mándame mensajes. Hazme saber qué es lo que tú buscas, qué es lo que quieres. Y así lo pongo en mi lista porque tengo más conexiones que hacer. Tengo hombres buscando mujer. Tengo hombre buscando hombre, tengo mujer buscando hombre, tengo mujer buscando mujer. Así es que yo estoy aquí para ayudarles, para darles la mano en lo que sea. ¿Ok? Bueno, ahora vamos a hablar un poquito de este arzobispo, de que tiene una mansión en New Jersey, que la está preparando para retirarse. Este obispo supuestamente es representante de Cristo, no lo creo. ¿Por qué yo estoy hablando de este tema ahora? Porque ustedes me lo pidieron. Recibí más de 12 correos, incluyendo mensajes privados, que ustedes mismos me decían que hablara de este tema, que diera mi opinión. Claro, aquí estoy, dándoles mi opinión en este aspecto. ¿Es este hombre un representante de Cristo al tener una mansión de millones de dólares? ¿Dónde está su humildad de esta persona? ¿Dónde está el ejemplo que él va a dar para otros? Él es una vergüenza para todos nosotros, especialmente los que somos católicos. Pero también hay pastores así, hay padres, hay rabinos, hay reverendos, hay de todo, evangelistas que se roban el dinero y que usan el dinero para otros propósitos y no para ayudar a la gente. Y de que viven en casas súper lujosas. Estas personas no se pueden llamar representantes de Cristo. Porque Cristo no vivió esa vida. Pero no es la culpa de ellos. Por ejemplo, como de este arzobispo de New Jersey o de New York, de esas áreas, que está preparando esa mansión, que tiene ya esa mansión para cuando él se retire. No es culpa de él que esa mansión sea de millones. Esa persona no es un representante de Cristo. La culpa es de la gente que lo sigue, que está ok, que está bien con lo que él está haciendo, que lo tolera. Imagínate, pero lo irónico de esto es esto, de que la gente que lo tolera, que lo sigue, que lo adora a este obispo, nomás porque es obispo, son gentes pobres, son gentes que no tienen ni para comer, son gentes que viven en apartamentos súper baratísimos, pobrecitos, o que tienen casa y que a veces no tienen ni a dónde vivir. Por favor, gente, despierten. ¿Cómo uno va a idolatrar? ¿Cómo uno va a querer a una persona que está fregando a los demás? ¿Cómo uno va a creer en una persona que se embolsa los millones de dólares para una mansión? Perdón. Ya quisiera yo tener esos millones de dólares para poder ayudar a tanta gente que necesita de nosotros. Cuando yo estuve en un convento, yo estuve como en tres conventos, ya lo he platicado, y eso va a estar en el libro 2. Pero cuando yo estuve en uno de los conventos, fue donde yo más miré esto, cómo se desperdiciaba la comida. Los padres comían algo diferente que los seminaristas. ¿Dónde está la igualdad entonces? ¿Hace eso a estos padres hipócritas que dicen una cosa pero hacen otra cosa? ¿Que dan el mensaje en las misas, en el catecismo, en la iglesia, en los sermones, dan el mensaje de igualdad, pero ellos no lo practican? Yo creo que eso hace a una persona hipócrita. En mi persona, si yo hiciera eso, yo sería un hipócrita. Porque si yo voy a hablar de igualdad, si yo voy a comer frijoles con queso y tortillas, es una gran comida que voy a dar. Y eso yo lo voy a dar con los demás, con quien esté conmigo. ¿Cómo yo voy a comer pollo y las otras personas van a comer frijoles? Si yo como frijoles, las otras personas van a comer frijoles. Si yo como pollo, las otras personas van a comer pollo. ¿Sí? Esa es la igualdad, no como lo que yo miré con algunos padres en algunos de los conventos que yo estuve. Este es otro mensaje que a mí me mandaron de un obispo, que dicen que este obispo en Portland dio una entrevista a un periodista, hizo unos comentarios súper fuertes de los que son de los pedófilos. Él dijo que el divorcio anima a los pedófilos a que lastimen a los niños. Qué estúpido ese obispo al hacer estos comentarios de decir que los divorcios animan a los pedófilos a lastimar a los niños. El divorcio no tiene nada que ver con uno que es un pedófilo, con una persona que es un psicópata y que abusa de los niños. No tiene nada que ver una cosa con la otra. Qué estúpido este obispo. Y es el obispo principal, creo, de Portland, ¿ok? Y también él dijo que las personas jóvenes que están en un divorcio, que miran el divorcio o que experimentan el divorcio, están buscando por amor, buscan amor en otras personas. Y luego comparó el divorcio con los pedófilos, poniéndolos al mismo nivel, que lastiman a los niños, a las personas jovencitas, que serían los niños. O sea, una cosa no tiene nada que ver con la otra. Imagínense hasta qué punto hemos llegado en esta vida, Dios mío, de que este obispo esté buscando estas excusas para cubrir tanta maldad que existe en la Iglesia Católica y en otras iglesias, por supuesto, pero ahorita estoy enfocado en hablando de este obispo de la Iglesia Católica. Existe tanta maldad, existe tanto abuso que lo han tolerado, que lo han cubierto. Estas no son personas representantes de Cristo. El obispo le dijo al reportero, al periodista, que muchos de estos casos de molestación sexual se hubiera podido evitar si es que se le hubiera dado una relación, si hubieran estado los niños en una relación saludable con los papás. En esto estoy de acuerdo. Por supuesto que estoy de acuerdo. Pero una cosa no tiene nada que ver con la otra. Porque este obispo completamente está chiflado, está fuera de sí. Como está chiflado y está fuera de sí el obispo de New Jersey, de que tiene esa mansión, preparando esa mansión de millones de dólares, cuando hay tanta gente que está sufriendo. Mi opinión en esto es, no se me confundan, despierten gente, que estas personas no son representantes de Cristo. Estas personas no tienen humildad. Estas personas se llaman humanitarios, misioneros. Les voy a decir lo que quiere decir un misionero, lo que quiere decir un humanitario. Sí son misioneros, estoy de acuerdo con eso, son misioneros, pero no son humanitarios, porque no es lo mismo ser humanitario y misionero que ser misionero y, o ser nomás humanitario, porque un humanitario siente, entiende, vive el dolor, la tristeza, el sufrimiento de los demás, y es con mucha igualdad que esa persona quiere para los demás. Una persona de que es misionero, bueno, tiene una misión en su vida supuestamente, pero quizás en esa misión nomás incluya su bolsillo, tener para él, comer bien, tener casa, tener donde vivir, tener millones de dólares, miles de dólares. ¡Ah, qué bonita misión, ¿verdad? ¡Wow! Pero esa persona no es humanitaria, no se me confundan, esa persona no tiene nada de humanitario y no es representante de Cristo, porque Cristo fue humilde, Cristo no tenía esas riquezas y cuando Él tenía las riquezas las compartía con los demás. Así es que no se me confundan, pero como les vuelvo a repetir, la culpa no es de los padres, la culpa no es de estos obispos, la culpa es de ustedes, de la gente de que les besa la mano y que los hidrata y que los adoran nomás porque son obispos. Despierten, porque ustedes están en la pobreza y ellos están en la riqueza. Conmigo no va eso. Por ejemplo, a mí jamás me vas a ver que yo le vaya a besar una mano a uno de esos padres, a uno de esos obispos, porque son hipócritas. Hay que darles el ejemplo a ellos entonces, porque ellos son los que tienen que darnos el ejemplo a nosotros, pero quizás seamos nosotros los que les vamos a dar el ejemplo a ellos. Las personas que piensan como este obispo, regresando al obispo que dio la entrevista y que busca esas estúpidas excusas, me da miedo. ¿Por qué? Porque es más, yo tengo sospechas que ese obispo, si busca esas excusas, es porque él también es un abusador. ¿Qué me van a decir a mí de abuso sexual si yo fui abusado, como ustedes ya lo saben? Fui abusado por 11 personas, 9 hombres y 2 mujeres. Yo sé lo que es el abuso sexual. Yo sé lo que es los psicópatas. Entonces, este obispo, si él se expresa así de la iglesia, de los sacerdotes, es porque él también es un psicópata. Es porque él ha cubierto a tantos psicópatas de que tanto daño le han hecho a los niños. Yo invito ahora a ese obispo que se mire al espejo y que mida sus palabras cuando él va a hablar de abuso sexual. Ahora yo invito al obispo, este que tiene los millones, que tiene esa mansión con esos millones de dólares, vende la mansión. Con esos millones de dólares, ¿podría proveerle comida, víveres a tanta gente pobre en el mundo, en tantos países? Hay tanta gente que se va a la cama sin comer y que no saben si mañana van a tener qué comer. Y si ahora tuvieron una tortilla, mañana no saben si la van a tener. Con tanto dinero se pueden pagar medicamentos. Hay tanta gente que está enferma. ¿Por qué? Porque no tienen dinero para pagar medicamentos. Un ejemplo es las personas que son diabéticas. Las personas que son diabéticas necesitan dinero para los medicamentos para mantener el azúcar nivelada. Este nomás es un ejemplo. También se puede pagar por cirugías. Un ejemplo es una persona que tiene tiroides, que tiene problemas con la tiroides. Se puede pagar por la cirugía de la tiroides. Ese es otro ejemplo. Hay personas que no tienen dónde vivir, que no tienen casa. Ese es otro ejemplo. Imagínate tantas cosas que nosotros podemos hacer por nuestros hermanos. Pero eso se llama ser uno misionero y ser uno humanitario. Pero estos obispos que tienen millones o miles de dólares, Para ellos simplemente no son humanitarios. Tienen una misión, pero para ellos mismos, egoístamente para ellos mismos, no para los demás. Pero se lo vuelvo a repetir, no es la culpa de ellos, sino que es la culpa de ustedes, de la gente de que lo tolera y la gente que está de acuerdo y que la gente que lo sigue a estas personas. Es culpa de ustedes, no es culpa de estos obispos. Y con esto, amigos, les doy las gracias por haber estado conmigo ahora, este día domingo maravilloso. Gracias por sus comentarios, por sus correos, por sus mensajes. Síganme mandando mensajes, síganme diciendo lo que quieren y yo voy a ir hablando de los temas que ustedes quieren, por supuesto. Imagínate qué fácil me hacen ustedes mi trabajo, porque yo no tengo ni que estar pensando de qué tema voy a hablar. Simplemente me tengo que preparar con el tema, pero ustedes me dicen cuáles son los temas que quieren. Entonces, no se olviden que para abril 13 voy a estar hablando de qué es lo que uno puede hacer durante y después de un cambio fuerte en la vida. Voy a hablar de cómo parar de sufrir cuando te divorcias, cuando te separas, si eres persona alcohólica, que estás tomando mucho o quieres dejar el cigarro o quieres dejar el alcohol, las cervezas y lo que sea, porque todo eso te afecta el bolsillo porque cuesta mucho dinero y también te afecta tu salud, ¿verdad? Y también te puede llevar a la depresión. Y cuando las personas están metidas en eso, pues simplemente llega el momento que no se enfocan bien con claridad. Así es que yo le voy a estar ayudando con todo eso y también tengo bastante entrenamiento en sexología y en la psicología, entonces le voy a estar ayudando con eso también, ¿ok? Pero esto va a ser para abril 13. Discúlpenme las personas que me pidieron este tema que hablar ahora, pero no tuve oportunidad de hacerlo. Muchas gracias por haber estado conmigo. Los veo abril 13. Ya saben que los quiero mucho. Un abrazo, bendiciones y hagan el bien sin mirar a quién. Que tengan buen día. Adiós.
Y el corazón me habló de amor con emoción. Si vives la magia, de hadas que hacen bien, verás que el futuro sonríe también.